Church, today is the day of Pentecost, the day the world has been waiting for since the very beginning, a day that all of God's stories were preparing us to write. So hear these words of scripture from the book of Numbers, a day long before that foretold this day. The Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them all." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this holy day. This holy day, which is unlike so many of our other days. The culture doesn't help us keep track of it. Nobody is trying to sell us anything. Nobody is paying attention at all, just like they weren't on the first day when you kept your promise and poured out your Holy Spirit on sincerely broken, confused, beloved disciples just like us. People just like us whose stories were full of miracles and answered prayers and unbelievable gifts and also, God, shameful, embarrassing failures and brokenness, but you gathered them together and you poured your Holy Spirit out upon them. And in that day, everything changed. And we are gathered here all these centuries later, not because of who they were, but because of who you were in them. And so, God, we say, do it again. Teach us our own story and give us the bold foolishness to open up our hearts and wait for you to fill them with your Spirit so that we might in this place and out of this place prophesy to your glory, confounding the world as we live in your goodness here and now. Amen. At the heart of the Bible is a story of a people who were chosen. They were chosen not because they were better or more loved by God, but they were chosen for the sake of all people who were created in God's image. They were chosen so that through them the whole world would be blessed. Through them, God would redeem all of creation and reverse the curse of Eden and restore creation. And if you read the Bible, you'll learn that these people are called Israel, but now we call ourselves the body of Christ. The name Israel in Hebrew means he who struggles with God. And we wouldn't be wrong to call ourselves by that name to this day. We struggle with God. We resist. We fight God sometimes, but still we are chosen not because of who we are, but because of who God is. The seven verses that we just read, this Pentecost story, they are a part of that larger story, the saga of the chosen people, then and now, our story. Chosen to redeem and bless the world by God's power, in God's will. Israel, the Hebrew people, they became the slaves of the mighty Egyptian empire, and they were worked so viciously and so cruelly that they forgot who they were and their own sacred history. They were bred like animals for the labor of their masters. They were killed for sport. Their infants were crushed on the birthing stools, and their groans of despair rose up to the God they had forgotten, the God who had not forgotten them. And he sent Moses, a broken and weak man himself, but God chose him, sent him, filled him with God's power to redeem the chosen people and set them free and lead them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And filled with God's power, Moses went, and through Moses, God freed the chosen people, working signs and wonders, testifying to God's glory and power, and led them through the waters to freedom and new life. And when they had escaped in the wilderness, God dwelled with them close by, hovering over them in a holy cloud by day and leading them in a pillar of fire by night. God met their every need. In the midst of the desert wilderness, God tended to them, bringing water from rocks, making bitter water sweet. And instead of laboring in the fields or the brick factories, God led them by the hand and fed them with miracles. God caused the sky to rain bread, which was sweet like honey, like pastry cooked with the finest oil, and the chosen ones couldn't recognize food that they didn't have to labor to provide. So they called that heaven bread manna, which means, what is this? Those chosen broken people who had never known a day's rest, who for generations knew nothing except fear and terror and work, now they had nothing to do but rest and revel in their answered prayers and learn the ways of freedom that God was providing for them as God led them by the hand to the promised land. And the people grew bored. They grew bored and restless and forgetful, and they got tired of eating that miracle bread, which was always the same flavor every day. They became blind to the presence of God in their midst, and they began to complain. We are sick of this bread. We are bored with our happily ever after answered prayers. You know what was great? They said to one another around the campfires. You know what we really miss? Cucumbers. In Egypt, we had all the melons and leeks and onions and garlic we wanted for free. We had all the meat we could eat for nothing, said the former slaves. They grumbled and complained and talked about returning to the good life in Egypt, where life was hard, but the food was good. And Moses, who God redeemed to be a redeemer, Moses, who had sat with God on Mount Sinai while God dictated the covenant to him twice, who came down in a cloud covered with God's glory, glowing with a glow so fierce that the people had to make him a veil because it hurt their eyes to look at him. Moses, who had seen so much, heard that, and in that moment, he gave up and he turned to God and he said, "Why did you do this to me? Why did you choose me to lead these people? They're not my people. I didn't make them, you did. Now they want meat, you feed them. I can't carry them anymore. They're too much for me. I cannot stand this life. I have nothing else to give. I can't carry them on my back all the way to the promised land. Lord, if you love me at all, kill me now and put me out of my misery." Now, Moses was whining just as hard as the people were because, spoiler alert, he was a person. But Moses was whining to God, which makes his pity party a prayer, makes it holy. We call it lament. Anytime we bring our real selves to God, even when it's ugly, we are being obedient. So God hears Moses' prayer, and he also hears the words of the people, and he says to Moses, okay, here's what we're going to do. You gather 70 elders from among the people, and some of the Holy Spirit that I have put on you, I am going to put on them. And then you tell everybody else to get ready, because tomorrow you are eating meat. You are going to eat a month's worth of meat in the next 24 hours. You are going to eat so much meat, it will be coming out of your noses. And this is where we picked up the story today. Moses, who is just burnt toast at this moment, who is so lost in his very real feelings that nothing else is real to him. Moses has lost the power of remembering his own story, the burning bush and the writhing staff and the plagues and the towering walls of water as he walked through the Red Sea. Moses turns to God and says, God, that's not possible. There's too many of those people. There's not enough birds in the whole wide world to meet their appetite. And that's when God says, is the Lord's arm too short? Is God's power limited in any way? Is anything impossible for the Lord? The answer, church, is no. You've seen that truth 1,000 times in your past. And God says to Moses and to us, you will see it again tomorrow. So Moses gathers the elders around the tent of meeting, around the designated holy sacred space. Moses gathers the elders, the ones the community has recognized as having wisdom and relationships and influence among the people, and the cloud of God's Spirit, which before has only ever touched Moses, now it falls upon them, and they are lit with the fire of the burning bush. They are filled with holiness, and they prophesied, which means they spoke God's truth to God's people. But two of the elders, the wonderfully named Eldad and Medad, anybody who names their next son one of those names, I'll give you $50. Great names. Eldad and Medad, they're elders, but they don't go to the tent of meeting. We don't know why. Maybe it was because Moses didn't recognize their gifting and didn't call them. Maybe they overslept. Maybe they stayed back to help somebody else. But whatever the reason was, they were not where they were supposed to be. But they still were who they were called to be. And so the Holy Spirit found them where they were and filled them, and they too began to prophesy. And all the people around them got really uncomfortable. People who were normal and in an ordinary place now are filled with God's fire and are speaking for God when we're just trying to live our lives. Somebody has to run and tell the authorities that there is unauthorized preaching in Sector 4. And Joshua, Moses' vice prophet, is horrified. Moses, my God, you've got to stop them. And Moses, who has emptied his tortured heart to God, who has once again been reminded that God hears and sees and acts, Moses, whose burden has been lifted as other people were filled with the Holy Spirit, Moses has remembered who God is, and so Moses recovers himself, and Moses prophesies. Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? If only all of God's people were prophets. If only God's Spirit rested not just on me or you or them, but on every person, on all the people, in every tent, on every corner. If only, Moses dreamed, if only everybody could be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And Moses, who was about to see that there are, in fact, enough birds to feed these hungry people, Moses, who was also about to see that too much of a good thing when it's the wrong thing is still too much. Moses, even after all that he's seen, cannot imagine that God's Spirit is big enough and holy enough to cover all God's people. He hopes, but he cannot conceive of asking for all God's people to be filled. He cannot even complain to God that they're not. Because it's still our default to think that some people are made to be chosen. Some of us are destined to be filled with God's Spirit. Some places are created to be sacred, but most people and most places are ordinary and unconsecrated. We think it has to be that way. We think it should be that way. We think God wants it that way. Some people have to be spiritless, and some places have to be unholy so that what is holy will be set apart and special. But church, it is not scarcity that makes God's Spirit valuable. It's holiness. The marketplace laws of supply and demand do not apply to the kingdom of God. You must understand, church, you who struggle with God, at least you do if you're paying attention and taking this seriously. You must understand, church, that you are forever, unchangeably, and irrevocably chosen. And you must see that Moses' wish wasn't just an idle thought. It was God's revelation. It was prophecy. Moses doubted that God could make enough meat to fill the people in the desert, but he didn't even bother to doubt that God could fill all people with his Spirit, because that was just crazy talk. Moses' mind couldn't conceive of a God that generous, that powerful, that good, that loving, that tender, a God who would choose everybody. Moses had seen some things. Moses had seen more miracles maybe than anybody else in all of creation, but he could not imagine a reality where all people were anointed. That the Spirit that dwelled in him, it was not his thought. It was not his mind. It was the Spirit that dwelled in him that was not of him. And that Holy Spirit was prophesying in that moment. And church, we live in the day when Moses' holy dream is reality. We live in the day when all God's people can be filled with God's Holy Spirit. In fact, must be filled with God's Holy Spirit, where all God's children, sons and daughters, can prophesy, can preach with their words, but more importantly, with their lives. We live in the day when the body of each believer is a temple. Because what is a temple except a place where heaven meets earth? The intersection of the holy and the ordinary, where the veil is removed and we see the truth that all is sacred. Yes. There is no such thing as ordinary. Every believer's body is a temple because every believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus, who is God made flesh and dwelling among us. Jesus is the reuniting of creator and creation. You and I can be filled with that Spirit. In fact, you and I are filled with that Spirit. We are not waiting anymore. The Spirit of God, which spoke reality into being and raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit of Jesus, who knew what it meant to be bored and hungry in a desert, who knew what it meant to be tempted to fill emptiness with bread, but who overcame that temptation with truth. We said to the devil, humans do not live by the bread they eat, not really, but every day by the word of God. That Spirit of Jesus, who knew the truth and overcame, that Spirit is in you and me, and still in Eldad and Medad, and in all the ones who aren't here, all the ones that we don't recognize as chosen. But guess what, church? God did not appoint us as quality control. God is going to continue to do holy things with overlooked people and remind us that all spaces and places are God-drenched. Friends, today it is Pentecost. And I'm not going to shout about it anymore, because it isn't about shouting and it isn't about fancy words. It's about the reality that all things lead to this place. That if God is who God says he is, then God is offering to fill each one of us who lifts up our hearts with God's Holy Spirit. God died so that we might know that we and all humans made in God's image were made by God to be filled with God. if only we will receive it. Why? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Is it so that we can work miracles? Is it so that we can pray whatever we want and put the words in Jesus' name at the end and get it? Trust me, getting whatever we want, whenever we want, as much as we want, it does not end well for us. Yeah. Read the end of the chapter. Why does God fill us with the Holy Spirit? It is so that we might have knowledge of God and the power of God to be the people God created us to be. A people who live in the kingdom by the covenant here and now. A people who rejoice in turning the other cheek and welcoming the stranger and clothing the naked and loving without counting the cost. A people who live not by bread, even if it's miracle bread, but by the word of God. That life is available to us here. I've been thinking about this day for a couple weeks, and I'm just going to tell you a little secret. I really don't like it when Christians go to Jerusalem. If you want to go to Jerusalem, that's fine. Go to the Holy Land. Have a good time. But if you think you're traveling to the Holy Land to get something of God that you can't get here, then you don't understand. This is the Holy Land. You are God's holy people. You have to start where you are. You can't wait for God to fix all of your problems. You can't wait to get better than you are. The good news of the gospel is that God has never chosen anybody who wasn't broken and confused and full of guilt and promise. God chooses people just like us to fumble our way through our lives and uses us to glorify his name. Friends, you don't need a better church. You don't need better people sitting next to you in the pews. You don't need a Yanla to come and fix your life. You don't need a better preacher, pastor, leader, teacher. Certainly, you could find all of those things that you're craving, but they aren't what you need. And the quest to get them is just a devil's errand. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yes.
And the time to open your heart to that is now. This week, we labored hilariously to make this art installation. Who knew how much of my life was going to be about climbing on ladders and praying not to fall off? And I just want us to notice as we come to the table that these Pentecost doves are not what we normally picture. When I think of the Holy Spirit coming down, I just have that image of Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan, and there's one Spirit, and it comes down on one person, right? And I see it, and sometimes a part of me thinks, well, what about me? How can I get in the right spot, in the right place to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And sometimes if I'm feeling extra prideful or empty or insecure, I'll think, well, sure, I've got the Holy Spirit because they don't have it. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit is more like this. Thousands and thousands and thousands of doves that we do not have to compete for. There is a peace of God that can only be put in you. There is a part of the revelation of God's goodness that only your life can tell. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of abundance, and all of God's people can be filled with it. At the heart of the story that we read today, and the people craving meat, they wanted quail. And God sent them so much quail that it made them sick to their stomachs, and it literally came out of their nose. And I didn't even realize that when we put this up, we put up the Pentecost reversal of that story. God sending so much Spirit into this place that there is an anointing for every person in the pews, and each one of us can be so filled with the Spirit of God, which doesn't glorify us, doesn't erase our weaknesses, doesn't make us look cool or full in every situation, but will glorify God. We can be so full of the glory of God that we can praise him every time we sneeze. Yes. The Spirit can come out of us. Friends, you were made by God to be filled by God. So bring your empty brokenness to this table and eat. and be the answer to Jesus' prayer.